Read after me.
This is my Bible.
Say it like you mean it.
This is my Bible.
I am.
But it says I am.
I can do.
But it says I can do.
I am a believer.
Not a doubter.
I'm a doer.
Not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better.
After having heard.
Word of faith.
Faith comes by hearing.
And hearing.
And hearing by
the word of God.
All right, there it is in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Verse 6, it says,
"For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye have gone away from my ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, for thus saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? Ye cursed with the curse, for ye robbed me with this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes to the storehouse, there may be meat in mine house. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing."
Pour you out a blessing.
Pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call your blessing, and ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." Now here's our subject, because we're going to enter into a new teaching for the next several weeks. Preparing for your outpouring. Preparing for your outpouring. Say that with me. Preparing for my outpouring. Amen. Now, this lesson series that we are launching today is to stimulate your faith for a divine intervention into your situation called an outpouring. There's a promise of God in his word to reverse any satanic attack that can only be received by faith. So my job today is to stir you up in faith as we began to study outpourings. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me today, spoke to me this week while I was in prayer, shared with me about that there would be to prepare the people for an outpouring in October. Everybody say outpouring,
outpouring.
In October. Now, in October, I know that there's going to be an outpouring as we do the conference. I know that people will come. This year's conference is going to be very special. I do know that there will be people coming from that have not come in the past, that have said that they're coming. And I know God's going to do something real special in our October meeting. And I know for that, those who participate, who help make it possible, God's going to do something special for them. I already know that. But I also know that God's going to do something special for those who come, that there will be an outpouring. Now, whenever God gives me something prophetically like this, when I hear a prophetic word from God, he always gives it to me in part. And then over the process of studying the word of God and listening and praying, I really get the specifics on it. And I'm in that process now. I know he told me I'm to study outpourings, and that's what we're going to start teaching on now as we began to study outpourings. But there are several types of outpourings we're going to see in the Bible. There are seasonal outpourings, there are strategic outpourings, and there are specific outpourings. And even though, yes, that there is going to be something happening in October, God let me know that there's an outpouring of divine favor on us now. You ain't get it. There's an outpouring of divine favor on you now, and you've got to know how to maximize that outpouring of divine favor. That doors have been closed or open. I mean, things that you could not do before, you'll be able to do now. You cannot lend your ear to what's going on in the world and begin to judge your life by what you are hearing and seeing. You can't do that. You've got to understand there has been an outpouring on you of divine favor, and that divine favor will cause things to happen for you that won't happen for anybody else. Now I got to get you in faith for it, because right now you're just hearing it. And, you know, it's almost years ago when the Lord gave me the prophetic word back in the 90s. God spoke to me, really early 80s, late 80s, early 90s, about multiple campuses, that churches would have multiple campuses. You know, the one church, multiple location concept. God spoke that to me, and I told people that's what the Lord said, and all the preachers looked at me crazy. Like, oh man, what do you mean multiple churches, multiple campuses? No, I ain't never heard nothing like that. Well, see, the prophet hears what others don't hear. Prophet sees what others don't see, you probably. And the prophet has to be bold enough to say what others have not seen. So I boldly declared it way back then in the late 80s and the early 90s about multi-campus churches. The churches would be one church in multiple locations.
That was a prophetic word. And now you see it all over the country, across denominational lines, multi-campuses. Amen. Now I said that to say this first. Of course, I always, have to push them a little bit, stick a pin in them. I heard from God. They heard the echo. All
right.
Down through the years, I've been able to hear from God. And when you have a prophetic word of God, a word from God that is prophetic, it will always agree with the promises in the Bible. There will be nothing said that will not agree with what's already in Scripture. A prophetic word is given to activate the power of God. That you got to speak it out. You got to say it in order for it to activate the power of God. A prophetic word alerts God's people so that God's people can get in faith for what he's about to do. A prophetic word reveals the plan of God. It reveals a plan of God. And so this word that God's given me for us concerning outpouring, I gotta tell you, I had never heard it like he told me, spoke it to me. I know something's gonna happen in October, and this October, I need your participation like never before. I mean, like never before, you're going to participate. You know, many of y'all normally take my conferences. We have so many people coming. Y'all take off that week. Okay, that's our week off. And y'all know y'all don't be looking at me like that. Y'all take that week off because, you know, we don't have Bible study that week because we got the conference. And y'all don't even show up. Not this week. Not this year. This year, you're going to put it on your calendar. This is August. I mean, this is what? This is August. It's August. I'm already talking to you about God saying, get ready for an outpouring. In October. I got some of y'all listening to me. Some of y'all gonna hear this prophet. Amen. Now I'm a real prophet. I just don't do the yay and all that kind of stuff. You understand? But now listen now. Go with me in your Bibles, because today we're going to deal with several things. Go with me in your Bible. I want you to park that. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to give us now a working definition for outpouring, because we're going to be studying several outpourings in the Bible. Point number one is the biblical revelation on outpourings. We're going to look at what the Bible reveals to us about outpourings, because there is an outpouring of God's power and blessing that is the answer to your situation. There is an outpouring of God's power and blessing that is the answer to the dilemma that you're facing. All right, outpouring in the context of this lesson is a divine move of God, of an overflowing discharge of kingdom blessing for protection, for power, for provisions. In the context of this lesson, it is a divine move of God, of an overflowing discharge of kingdom blessing for protection, for power, for provisions that hold tipping point potential. Tipping point potential. Tipping point potential. A divine move of God, of an overflowing discharge of kingdom blessing for protection, for power, for provision, that hold tipping point potential. Everybody say tipping point. That causes the lives of those who receive it to never be the same. Now, many of you who came to our webcast, or who saw webcast service, or saw the webcast service, may have saw that night, that final night, I think I was standing up there, and the Spirit of God spoke to me, tipping point. Y'all remember when I said, and I spoke it out, I said tipping point. I just heard the Lord say tipping point. Well, he spoke that to me, and of course, it's not a scriptural thing. But it's a situation, a tipping point is a phrase for a situation that once it happens, the thing is never the same. And once you grab hold to the outpouring that God has for you, it's a tipping point experience where your life is never the same. Okay. It's an overshadowing. It's not necessarily these outpourings as we're going to study in them. Outpouring is not necessarily something that always has a tangible manifestation. You follow me? Not always have a tangible manifestation, but it is an overshadowing, sort of like what happened to Mary. It overshadowed her, sort of like what happened to others in the Bible, of David. He was overshadowed. And the Bible says from that moment on, the Spirit of God was on him. And that's what happens when you tap into this outpouring. Because, like I said, there's strategic outpourings, there's seasonal outpourings, but then there's specific. That is something God specifically wants to do in your life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's study. All right. Now, I never taught on outpouring, so this is going to be a good series, especially for those of you who are avid Bible students. The outpouring in our text has to do with the tithe. God says for those who will bless, who will honor him with the tithe, that he says, I will pour you out a blessing. And this blessing that he will pour out on you, he says, now this was prophesied by Malachi. This is Malachi. Malachi is a prophet who writes this. And the prophet Malachi says that if we'll return to God and we'll not rob him, he's talking to his generation now. He says that will be an outpouring on our lives such that we won't have room enough to receive it. Amen. There's another outpouring that's in the Bible about the prophet that was prophesied by the prophet Elijah. Elijah had just come from an encounter with the prophets of Baal. God had rained down fire to consume the altar and the offering that he had. And then after, you know, it had been 3 years, there had been no rain. He says, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And everybody looking at him like, oh, you crazy man, ain't a cloud in the sky. He says, remember now, the prophet hears what others don't hear. Prophet sees what others don't see. And he boldly declares it's getting ready to rain. In fact, he says, it's getting ready to be a real gushing rain. I mean, it's going to really rain. All right. And so this was an outpouring as a result of the repentance of the people and the people coming back into respect and relationship with God. Another outpouring that we're going to look at and study in the Word of God is the outpouring prophesied by Joel. That this outpouring was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. It was prophesied way back in the Old Testament that it would happen by prophet Joel. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter stands up in Acts chapter 2 and says, this is the outpouring that was prophesied by Joel. And this outpouring was the outpouring that empowered the church. Amen. Of course, you know, it came with a lot of physical signs and physical manifestations. Another outpouring that we'll study in the course of this will be the outpouring that came upon David. Outpouring that came upon David, Prophet Samuel. The Prophet Samuel declared that God was going to anoint a new king. And so he goes to Jesse's house, looks at all of Jesse's children, kids, because he told, God said it would come out, the prophet, the new king would come out of Jesse's house. So he goes to Jesse's and say, hey, Jesse, I need to see your boys. God has prophesied, give me a prophecy that the next king is coming out of your house. Lines up all the boys except David. David's out in the field. And so prophet says, don't see the one. Yeah, anybody else? Ain't got any more sons? Well, yeah, we got David, but you know, nobody really think he gonna amount to anything. He's the son, really, of a concubine. Y'all explain to y'all children concubine. Our children in here today, so I'm keeping on up and up today because the kids in the house. You know what I'm saying? So y'all got to blame the concubine thing. All right, but you know, and because of that, you know, he was always kind of treated second class. You understand? But go get David, and then the Bible says the man God sees him, pours the oil on. There's this outpouring on him, and the Bible says from that day forward, the Spirit of God never left the man. Outpouring, individual outpouring. The outpouring we're going to also discuss, we're going to look at and study, is the outpouring of Jehaziel. Jehaziel was a prophet that he declared an outpouring before Jehoshaphat. They were surrounded by their enemies, and the Bible says that Jehaziel stood up and says, don't y'all be afraid, because the battle is not yours. It belongs to God. You stand still this day, you're going to see God pour out his power. And he did, and brought them a miraculous victory. We'll look at some of the outpourings that happened in Moses' time. When Moses declared that God would do something for the children of Israel in spite of what was going on in Egypt. You see, the children of Israel lived in a place called Goshen. Goshen was like the suburbs of Egypt. And there was a lot of stuff going on in Goshen, in Egypt, that did not happen in Goshen. Oh, y'all didn't get that. Okay. See, you got to understand. See, that's what I could care less what they do with the government and all that kind of stuff. I live in spiritual Goshen. Yeah, so, you know, I'm not in denial of what's going on, but I got a covenant that tells me that I don't have to be bothered by what's going on in Egypt. I live in Goshen. Amen. Did he move? Somebody said, did he move? They don't understand. Don't understand. I said. All right, now watch this. Now, so as we study these, and this is an introductory lesson, but as we study these outpourings, you're going to come to understand that there is an outpouring of the Lord. Already prophesied. Everybody say already prophesied. Already prophesied that will address whatever distress that you are in. Amen. That there is an outpouring of the Lord. There is a commissioning and a discharge of God's power that has already been prophesied that will address whatever distress that you're in. Whatever situation you're going through, and my job today is to stir you up so that you can be in expectation, so that you'll release your faith. You're going to walk out of here knowing that you have been overshadowed by God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, now watch this. Watch. Four things we see thus far as we study. We'll see that the an outpouring will do. Number one, it will abort hell's harassments. Number two, it will address human hurts. Number three, they are assigned to honor our hope. In other words, these outpourings are the manifestations of the things we hope for. It's God's response to our faith. And then we'll see that many of these outpourings is just because it's an administration of his heart. He just loves us. It's where he graciously gives us. All right. You're in 2 Peter chapter 1, right? I know I had you to go there and park there and wait for a long time, but like this is the introductory lesson. This is the introductory lesson. And I'm telling you, when we get rolling here, you're going to be all right. Because it's introduction. Everybody say introduction. Yes. Yeah. All right. Now, I tell you, my south location, my north location, boy, they worked me so hard today. I told them too. I told them off. I did too. It was slow. Ooh, Jesus. It was slow. But you know, I had to press my way, and I did. I had to really press my way with them. But I'm telling you, all right. Now watch this. I couldn't wait to get over here. So y'all help me. Verse 12. Wherefore, I would not be negligent to put you, I'm in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Wherefore, I would not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you. Everybody say stir you. To stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Now, here's the point that my assignment today. Very simple point. My assignment today is to stir your faith up so that you understand that God has an outpouring for your situation. Whatever situation you're facing, there is the power of God available to address that. Now, it's easy in the midst of the challenge to forget that. It's easy. In the midst of pressure, the challenge of a situation, the problem of a situation, the doctor's report says one thing, the bank account says what it says, it's very easy. And if you're not careful, you'll begin to fight your battle by yourself. And you will forfeit the help that God has already, everybody say already, that has already poured out for you. And I want you to clearly understand this. That is, I'm not trying to put anybody down, but it's so easy to get wrapped up in the news and you're wrapped up in this report and wrapped up in that report until you can forget the covenant rights that you have. So my second point has to do with the believer's right to an outpouring. I got a right to the outpouring. We just dealt with the biblical revelations. We will get into them in detail. But you got to understand, you have a right to an outpouring. And there is an amazing outpouring that will address the situation that you're going through. That there is an outpouring that will divinely position you or position individuals around you. It will prompt incidents. It will produce ideas. There is a divine outpouring that has the power to transform what you're going through so that you will never be the same.
Amen.
Had a situation about a week or so ago, one of my sons in ministry had a heart attack, and his family called me. His daughter called me on the phone, and she was all in tears. He had been without oxygen for like 30 minutes, and he was in ICU, and the prognosis was very, very negative. They said his heart was only working like 20%. Doctors were saying his organs were shutting down. They pretty much was giving them the death notice. So she called me on the phone crying and was telling me about what's going on with their daddy. And I said, wait a minute, baby, wait a minute. As long as there is a breath of life in him, we have the potential for a miracle. As long as there's breath, we have the potential for a miracle. So what your daddy needs, your daddy don't need you siding with the doctor. Your daddy needs you to stand in faith like he taught you. And then I began to declare on the phone. I'm speaking to his body, commanding his body to line up with the word. And commanding his heart to function as God designed it to function, you understand? And while I'm declaring all of this, her faith is rising. So when she got off the phone, I knew she had a little swag about it. All right. I said, because your daddy needs you now to practice what he has taught you. He needs somebody now on his side. Everybody saying, not many days. Not many days, I got a call from him. She said, dad is breathing on his own now. They took him off of life support. Listen, if you don't watch it, you will let the circumstances of life cause you to forfeit the kingdom benefit that Jesus died to give you. And that's my role. My role is to stir you up. You already know the things. I got to stir you up in them so that you will have faith to receive what God has for you. Any of y'all ever make Kool-Aid, Kool-Aid in a big old pot or something like that? And you pour all the sugar in there. You know, and that first time you stir it, you don't get it all. Some of that sugar just settles to the bottom. And then you go and taste it, almost tastes like ain't no sugar in it. Well, the sugar is there, you got to what? Come on, that's what I'm talking about. So I'm saying, y'all got the knowledge. You've been exposed to it. But today I got to stir it up. Deuteronomy 18, I got to stir you up. That you have a covenant with God for outpourings, and that it is dynamic. That when you made Jesus Lord of your life, you stepped in a covenant agreement with God where there's some things he promised to do for you. And I'm not going to let you forget it. Deuteronomy 8:18, are you there? 8:18 says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Now watch this. If I wasn't prone to forget, he wouldn't tell me I had to remember. Watch this. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to do what? Everybody say, God is helping me get money. God is helping me get money. He gives me the power to get wealth. God is helping me make money. I'm not out here trying to make money by myself. I'm not out here trying to make ends meet by myself. God, I got a covenant with God that's an overshadowing, overpowering on my life to make money. And I will always have enough. Look, person, it's me too. Listen, I had enough to fill my gas tank up when gas was 25 cents a gallon. Now some of y'all laughing at 25 cents a gallon. Where did that dude come from? Come on. In the 70s. In the 70s, I used to fill my car up coming from Austin, Texas to Houston, Texas. I was at University of Texas on Friday evenings. I pull up to the station, 25 cents a gallon. I fill it up. Then I remember, they said, oh my God, gas going to go up to 30 cents a gallon. What we gonna do? 30 cents a gallon. I had enough at 25 cents to fill my tank up. I had enough when it went up to 30 cents. I got enough to fill up it now. If it goes to $6 a gallon, I'm gonna still have enough because God gives me power to make money. I'm not out here by myself trying to make it. God help me. Little person, me too. God helping me make money. God's helping me make money. He says, I give you the power to get wealth. God's helping me in this. Good times or bad times, he changes not. His commitment to me now is the same as his commitment was to me back then. Watch this. I don't care what Congress does. Now, I want them to act right, but I don't care if they don't act right. Y'all did good on that one, so. Psalms 107. I got a covenant right to divine healing. Yeah, because somebody says, I don't need no money. If I didn't know, I know he's going to talk about money today. I would have stayed home because I don't need no money. I'm telling you, that's an outpouring for your situation. And that outpouring is the outpouring of healing. Amen. Verse 20 says, he sent his word. And what? And healed them and did what? From what? Their destruction. There's an outpouring for healing. That's good news. That's good news. See, if you don't watch it, you'll look at that doctor's report and think that doctor's report is the final report. The doctor's report is just tracking things. It's documenting and tracking my healing. Because I am the healed, resisting sickness and disease. Now, the reason I got to go there with you, because I'm telling you, that is the, one of them, when people can do all that waving hand in church, say amen, until they get the report, got their name on it. Oh, my God. Oh. You got to understand. All right, go to Isaiah 53. I got to stir you up about your healing. Amen. See, because if I get stirred, I stay in faith on it, then the devil will not be able to gain ground on me. All right, are you there? Isaiah 53 and 5. Hallelujah. Everybody say, he's stirring us up today. Yeah, Isaiah 53 and 5. All right, watch this. Now, this is, you just got to choose to believe the word of God. That's why, I won't put Jesus in the category with the doctors. Say, what? No, because they are limited. I ain't putting him in the category. If I do, I have to call him the chief physician. He ain't just a doctor. Amen. Nothing is too hard for him. He healed all their diseases. So your case is not too difficult for him. All right, look there. 53:5 says, I start verse 4. Yeah, I got to start verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Got to stop. If he has borne my griefs, then I don't need to grieve.
And then, my parents passed, and I'm going through this grieving period. Why are you doing that? Because my therapist said I would have to grieve. Okay, you're gonna believe your therapist. You're gonna believe the word.
Amen. Scripture says, I know you're
we cold. I'm not cold. I'm saying.
Himself, he bore my griefs. If he bore my griefs, I don't have to grieve.
But didn't you love? I did love him, but I'm not going to grieve.
Well, you lost your mother. I didn't lose my mama. When you lost something, you don't know where it is.
Watch this. And carried our sorrows. Why are you depressed? He already carried your sorrows. You don't need to be depressed. You don't need to. I'm just so depressed. Why are you depressed? Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. It is a decision that you have to make.
No, I'm not. No, look at me. Y'all, he's too cold. I'm not cold. I'm just telling you, either we're going to live this or we're not. Now, why are we going to live part of it? You're going to live the salvation part because I'm going to heaven. Yes, I believe I'm going to. Well, believe the rest of it too.
Well, did you cry when your mama died?
Of course I cried. I'm going to miss the relationship. That's why he made the teardrops so I could cry. And I told him when I was going to cry, I preached my mother's funeral and everything. And I told him, on my way out, I'm going to have me a good cry. you know, on my way out, you know, because it was still, her favorite song was, what was that favorite song? Oh, God, what was that song? I Fly Away. Who's that? Yeah, I Fly Away. That was her favorite song. Mama said she wanted that song. She told me. See, my mama, before she died, she told us what to do.
Yeah.
She told me, look, don't you leave me on the ground at the graveyard. You stay there until they put the dirt on me. I mean, we talked about that. You understand? So she, I Fly Away. I was on my way out to church. I was crying. Had my handkerchief and everything because I preached a good funeral. You understand?
Yeah.
I was on my way out crying.
Yeah.
I ain't grieving, though. You follow me? I ain't depressed.
Yeah.
Got to the graveyard and I told him, "Oh, wait, come on, let's put the dirt on." No, no, we got it. We handle it. No. I'm running this. I paid for this. You gonna put the dirt on it now? I ain't so much grief I can't take care of business. That's like when I went to the funeral home and the guy gonna tell me she would look wonderful in this. You don't even know my mama. How you know she's gonna look wonderful in? No, we ain't gonna do that. No, because I got to take care of business. Now I know what your price is, but I'm not paying. You negotiating? That's right. I'm negotiating right here. This is business. I'm not in grief. But you're gonna take advantage of me. Somebody in here need this. I don't know who it is. I got to take care of business. So when I got there, they put the thing on the grave. First they put the vault. Yeah, put the vault. The man put the vault on, the top on wrong. I can see it's crooked. Hold on. It's crooked. It's wrong. Oh, it ain't crooked. If it ain't right, it ain't going to seal right. If it ain't sitting right. I got down in the grave. He got down. I got down in the grave. I felt along the edge. It's crooked. Take it up. Now lower it down right, and if it lowered it down right, okay. Now I got back down in there, felt around the air. Okay, come on with the dirt. Let's go. Get it up. And when they finished, I pulled out my roll and gave him some tips. Got in the limo. Who is that masked man? Okay. Come on now, young man. So, no, I'm telling you, I'm helping somebody. You may not have it walk down that road yet, but when you get ready to walk down that road, the Holy Ghost is going to bring this up to you. When you're in that room and you're negotiating for what you're going to pay, and they're trying to get all your insurance money, you're going to hear your bishop say, he's already borne my sickness. I mean, he already borne my griefs. I am not grieving. It's business time. Now, whatever your price is, you need to cut it right now. If you don't, I'm leaving. You're going to leave. I'll call somebody else to come get mama. Oh, Jesus. Oh. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did him stricken, did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. Wait a minute. He was what?
Wounded.
He was wounded for what?
Transgressions.
All right, so did I transgress? Did I mess up?
Yeah.
But I don't have to be guilty about it.
Yeah.
Don't have to feel condemned by it.
Yeah.
Why? Because he forgave me. He paid the price. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. That's the freaky stuff. And the chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes, I am what?
Healed.
With his stripes, I am what?
Healed.
So I'm still here. I don't care what the doctor report says. I am healed. I am the healed, resistant, sickness, and disease. Well, I got the facts. The facts will change. My faith gonna change the facts. I know you see a spot on my lungs. I am not in denial that that's not what you see. But if you keep on looking, after I keep on confessing, what you see will change. Luke chapter 10. I'm just stirring you up today. Let's stir you up. Luke chapter 10. All right. As an outpouring of power. Outpouring. Everybody say outpouring of power. Verse 17, and the seven returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And behold, I give unto you, here's the outpouring, power to tread on serpents and scorpions, all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means what? And nothing shall by any means what? And nothing shall by any means what? Either we're going to believe it, church, or we're not going to believe it. He says nothing shall by any means hurt me. Now, some of y'all don't need this, but some folk who grew up around hoodoo, voodoo, and all that kind of stuff. You know, they believe in that stuff. Well, they can believe in the stuff, but I don't.
And the word of God says, he has given me power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, alias names for the devil, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. You can't curse me. You can't hex me. You can't put a voodoo on me. You can't hoodoo me. You can't do none of that on me. That stuff don't work on me. Hebrews chapter 10. Let me wrap it up. Hebrews chapter 10. So I got to understand that's an outpouring. Everybody say that's an outpouring that fixes my situation. Amen. Divine healing is mine. Divine prosperity is mine. Divine deliverance is mine. Divine authority is mine. Amen. I got a covenant right to these outpourings. All right, now watch this. So the Bible tells me I got to stay in confidence. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, as we rush to a close. Y'all all right today? All right, it says there, Hebrews verse 35 says, casting away therefore your confidence with a great recompense of reward. If I would not be tempted to cast it away, he would not have to write it here. There are situations where people will try to discourage you, to get you to lose confidence. But when you understand, I've been overshadowed by God for this moment. We got ready to build a building over here, like I told you, the Family Life Center. We was building two of them at the same time, one in the north, one in the south. I asked the banker to help us. The banker said, I ain't going to help you. I said, why? We got money in the bank. We got great credit. I think it's ambitious. That's what he told me. I think it's ambitious. I never heard no church building two churches in the same city. Boy, it's like I felt that overshadowing them. I told that banker, listen, we're going to build the buildings. If I got to build it a brick a day, God give me enough bricks, God give me enough days, I'm going to get through. See, my whole point is, I'm not going to be denied. Amen. That is the way you have to be. Amen. I got to get you to get your fight back. Amen. How is it you became a Christian and you lost all your fight? You lost all your nerve. In the street, you'd be ready to cut somebody and mess with you. But you let the devil walk all on you, spit all on you. Oh, well, praise the Lord. No. You're going to praise the Lord, but you're going to say, okay, devil, that's the last time. Why? I'm equipped with the word of God now. I used to cut folk with knives, but I'm going to cut you with the word. Come on. I dare you to do that to me. I dare you. Y'all think I'm joking. I am not joking. You got to live. I mean, if you really want to get there, especially in tough times when everybody else talk, you don't have to go far to hear somebody talk negative. Okay, I gotta wrap it up. All right. Okay. So then, my response will be, go to Hebrews chapter 4. I'm about to wrap it up because y'all were good. Y'all was a little slow in the beginning. Y'all were okay. My confidence is based on the promise of God. God said it, he'll do it. My confidence is based on the prophetic word of God. God prophesies it, it'll be done. My confidence is based on the principle. His word will not fail. And my confidence is based on petitions. He must answer prayer. Everybody say, he must answer prayer. All right, now watch this. To boldly receive it is based on how I respond. Now, how you going to respond to this teaching is going to determine the quality of your life long term. You can respond resentfully and say, I ain't going to be too bothered with all of that. Or you can respond respectfully and say, I might and I might not. King Agrippa, Paul testified to me. He said, well, you almost persuaded me. And he said, come back, we'll talk about it later. Why? Why trust another chance when you got a chance now? Why trust for another chance when you already got a chance? Or you can respond what I call with readiness. Now, that's what we'll get you next week in readiness. I got 7 things you're going to do to respond in readiness. You do not want to miss next week. Amen. You do not, look at the person, you don't miss next week. You don't want to miss next week. Hold on, you all right? Because I, pastor jumped on you. I didn't really mean, you okay? I know you've been with me.